verses 13 through 16 this morning. Praying with power is what we're going to focus on today. And I think a lot of times that is an area where we feel that we may be lacking, maybe because of battles that we're dealing with internally and externally. But anyone who is called upon the name of the Lord, we know, shall be saved. And when one is saved, they have something, a living spirit that will indwell within them. And that is the Holy Spirit. And that is where our power comes from. That is where our strength comes from. Our strength comes from the heavens, the maker of the heavens and the earth, our Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't think that we tap into that power as we should. All of us do not tap into the power of Christ as we should. And there really is no better way to tap into the power of Christ than through prayer. And so today, that's what we're going to focus on. As I've told you, for the next several weeks and the weeks that have already passed us by, we've really focused on prayer and why we need to make prayer a precedence in our lives, in all that we do. From the smallest of things to the largest of things, we should always pray. And we're going to read some important scripture here in James this morning. But I want to ask you this morning, in your life, young or old, have you ever been working on a particular task and the task or the deadline actually was coming to an end and you were nowhere near completion? Maybe you're doing work in the yard and you're trying to beat the sunset. And you know you want to get this job done before the sun passes you by because you don't want to put it off tomorrow. You want to go ahead and get it out of the way. Or maybe a boss has given you a particular deadline that you must meet. And maybe if you're like me, you may find yourselves being a procrastinator. And you put it off and you put it off. And then you realize the deadline is approaching and you've got to really get to work. You got to start working very hard, diligently putting out the work that you need to do to accomplish the task. You do this with a fervor because the fire has been lit underneath you, because you realize if you don't meet that deadline, there's probably going to be consequences. In your life, if you've ever been put in that situation, I want to correlate that fervor, that fight, that desire, that tenacity that you had to accomplish that task with your prayer life. And that's what we're going to look at this morning is, do we approach our prayer life with this great fervor? Do we approach our prayer life with tenacity, with a desire to get something done? Not to get our will done, but to get the will of our Father's done. That is what's important. And if we approach prayer with great fervor, as we're going to read here in James 5, he tells us that it availeth much. It will behoove your soul to pray fervently, to learn how to pray with power. You know, you can't just begin to pray without practice. And that's important. You must learn to pray with practice. And I love how every so often we'll have some of our children volunteer to dismiss in our children's prayer, during children's church. And it's so important that we train our children how to pray, to learn the importance of prayer. We don't want to teach them a fundamental prayer they must follow word by word by word. That is good to create the basis of prayer. But as you and I grow older, we're to mature in our faith. We're to mature in our knowledge of who Christ is. And so therefore, we should be able to pray with more fervor, with greater fervor. You should not be praying as you prayed when you were a young child, you who are seasoned Christians. Your prayer life should be enhanced. It should have grown immensely, leaps and bounds, and your prayer life should be growing every single day. But I'm afraid that we don't devote the time that we should to prayer. And therefore, we may not really know how to pray. Jesus Christ gave us the perfect example of how one must pray through the Lord's Prayer. And that is a wonderful prayer to learn and to base your prayer life on. But is it important that you learn to pray with power, an impactful prayer? Not so that you will be known as a prayer warrior, a mighty prayer, but that you'll be able to pray to the Lord who is in heaven. That's who we pray to. We don't pray as the Pharisees pray. You recall on Wednesday night, we studied that a couple of months ago. We don't pray as the Pharisees on the corner so we can be recognized for having great words that come out of our mouths. We want to be recognized for what's within our heart. And who knows that? Jesus Christ. Only He knows what is in our hearts. When we accomplish a task with great fervor, we see the importance that the remaining moments of getting ready to a finish or eclipse that task, you may have great intensity. And then when the job is complete, you can relax. You can breathe a little better. Well, that's what prayer is for. You may sit here this morning with a tense heart because things aren't the way they should and you just don't really know how to handle it. You don't know how to go on. But if you pray, if you give your concerns to Christ, you'll be able to breathe a little bit better. Over the last several weeks, we have studied Jesus as our intercessor and the importance of Him being the one who advocates for us. And then we talked about the importance of preparation through prayer. And then last week, we talked about praying on bended knee. And that is how we can accomplish, that's how we can learn to develop a powerful prayer. Whether it be a powerful prayer that you utter standing in front of this corporate worship service, or whether it be a powerful prayer that you utter in your closet, in your secret place. We can learn, you can learn, I can learn the importance of a powerful prayer. Jesus, our intercessor, the preparation that it takes to pray, and then that you are willingly able to come down upon bended knee to lament your soul to God. Consequently, if you are willing to pray and pray with an open mind and then with an open heart, your prayers will be very effective. And not only will they be effective for you, but they'll be effective for those who are around you, for those who you pray for. They will feel the power of. And I know all of you have experienced the power of prayer, where you've seen God answering prayers right in front of your face. One that I want to share with you that I've shared with you before when I first came to you all in 2017 or 2016 was when I was here. But the following year, if you recall, actually it was the fall of the year, I apologize. It was the fall of 2016 and Brody was having stomach problems and Amanda was out of town. And I had Brody at the hospital and the diagnosis was something that we really didn't want to hear. And so they were moving him to CMC, to Levine in Charlotte. And he had to be transferred from the hospital in Lancaster up to Levine's by ambulance. And before we loaded the ambulance, I sent out to Miss Amy the prayer request to go out to you all in the church. And the images that they saw at Springs Memorial were not the images that they saw at Levine's. Faulty images at Springs Memorial. Faulty image readings at Levine, done on the same individual. One was done before prayer, one was done after prayer. He hasn't had a problem since. What is that? Luck? Chance? No, that's prayer. In the middle of an afternoon, I feel that you all stopped whatever you were doing and you prayed. As we traveled up the road on that bumpy ambulance, y'all were praying, and the prayer was answered. Why was it answered? Because God heard it. He heard the prayers of His saints. That's the power of prayer. All of us can give examples. That's just one in my life. Every one of us can give an example of the power of prayer. And James knew that we needed these particular verses as he tells us that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, a righteous woman, availeth much. Amen. That's important to know. We must always understand that it's not about the words, it is about the heart. Our strength is not found in words, the words that we utter, because the Lord cannot be forced to do anything that's outside of His will. It's not our words, it's what's coming from our heart. The power of prayer is in God's reaction. He responds to petitions of the righteous by releasing, this is a word that many people don't like to associate with God, but this is what it is. It's a supernatural power that only He possesses. He hears the prayers of His righteous saints, and through His supernatural power, He takes that prayer toward the object that is being lamented, and He answers that prayer. He answers your concerns. And this takes us now to the scripture that I want us to focus on. And out of reverence for God's word, I would love for you to stand and follow along as I read from James 5, 13 through 16. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry or cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, I pray for your anointing upon this message today. God, I pray for your anointing to fall fresh upon every individual who stands before you today, God. We come here to worship you, Father, and you alone. Oh God, we love you and we praise you. In the most powerful name among all names, the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Looking at verse 13, when you're facing hardships, or if you know someone who's facing particular hardships, the answer to you and the answer to whomever you are around is prayer. That is the answer to all of life's problems, is prayer. And if you don't know how to pray, you need to get with a Christian friend who can pray with you, pray for you, and can show you the power and the importance of prayer. Sometimes there may not be any words that you really know how to say or what to say. And just say the name of Jesus. Because the name of Jesus is a powerful name. There is no other name greater. There is no other name powerful or more powerful than the name of Jesus. So just say his name because he knows what's in your heart. Failure to do so will cut you from the power source. And I think that's where we have gone astray in our Christian lives, is because we do not pray as we should. And when we don't pray as we should, we are cut directly from the power source. We know that Jesus is the vine, and we know if we're to be separated from the vine, we have been separated from life, and therefore we can't receive the nutrients that we need. Life's sustaining nutrients. So if you are cut off from God, or you cut your prayer life short, you are losing the power from the direct source above all sources. That's why you must develop and learn to develop and maintain and be steadfast in your prayer life. I love another portion of verse 13 that is of great importance, as you all know that you've learned from me, is song. Song is so important when it comes to worship. Not only just worshiping the name of Jesus, the 10,000 reasons that we have to worship the name of Jesus, but is also a form of prayer to Jesus. We sing psalms to Jesus. He tells us this in verse 13. It says, let him sing psalms. This is why it's so important when you sing psalms, when you sing songs to Christ, that you sing it to him and you sing it for him. And you don't worry about others around you. Heaven forbid they hear you sing the wrong note. Heaven forbid you actually smile while you're singing. Heaven forbid you raise your hand up while you feel the power of God moving through you. There's one individual in this sanctuary who does this almost every Sunday, and she never worries about anybody else around her. And she praises God and she sings to the top of her little lungs. Why can't we be like that? Don't worry about the other person beside you. Are you here to worship that person beside you? Are you here to meet the needs of the person beside you when you come to worship? No. You are here to worship God. You're here to let your needs be met by Him. It could just be me and one other person here today. That's all that really matters. It is about you. It is about your relationship with Christ. It is about you learning how to pray with great power, great fervor, great tenacity for Christ. Sadly, I feel our countenance is a true revealer of our heart. And maybe you don't know how to let go. Maybe you do not understand or know how to just let go and let God move through you. Could you imagine how powerful the Holy Spirit could move in and through us if we all just let go and not worry about anything else but ourselves? We're to come here in this beautiful sanctuary. No matter where we gather, we are to come and we are to come unto God with great reverence. Reverential fear of who he is, but there's nowhere in the scripture where it says that you cannot fall down on bended knee, or you cannot raise your hands up high, or you cannot sing and make a joyful noise in the Bible. He encourages us to do that. To pray, to worship him. Listen to Psalm 50, 14 and 15. Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. He says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. That is what prayer is all about. That is what, when we hear our prayers and we see our prayers being answered, he will be glorified because of his faithfulness. And when we see his faithfulness, we're able to glorify him and to give him praise because that's what he wants. That's what he deserves. 1 Corinthians 14, 15 says, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Now, when you sing with the Spirit, you are letting me know, you are letting others know, you're letting God know that you understand how important he is and how great of a God he is. And what a connection. What a bond. God knows your deepest thought. He wants to be so intimate with you. And while he's being so intimate with you, he has the power, the ability to be that intimate with the one who is beside you. Or maybe the one who is far away from us today. Verses 14 and 15 speak of being sick. And this is important when we think about the power of prayer. It says, if anyone is sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. What a comforting verse, comforting words. This is God's truth. It says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. These particular verses suggest that when we are afflicted, we must pray to reach a solution. It is okay to pray to God for a solution. That's what he wants you to do. When things are going great in life and life is very good, we tend to have no qualms with Christ or with one another. We have no issue singing praise unto God, but when things aren't going the way we want, when life is hitting us in every single direction and it's hitting us hard and it's knocking us down, what must we do? That is when you really need to sing praise unto God. That is when you really need to dig deep into your faith. That is when you really need to understand the importance of coming to him on bended knee and pouring your heart and pouring your soul out to Christ so that he can raise you up, so that he can heal you, so that you can experience the power of the intercessor through your prayers. So the question for this is, when you face these heartaches or hardships, how do you respond? How do you respond? Do you shy away or do you face it headstrong because of the power of God? Because you know who is in your corner. Because you know that you have people here in this church who will pray for you. Some of you may be private and you only tell a few people some of the things that's going on in your life. And that is okay. You don't have to tell everything to everybody. God already knows what you're dealing with. But oh, how encouraging it is when you have given a prayer request to an individual or individuals and you know they're praying. And how do you know? Because God is answering your prayer. Every one of us has experienced that. Some have experienced that in the course of the last week. Praying with power. Not any power that you and I can develop. There's no power on this earth that you can ever harness to outpower God. When we pray the effectual, fervent prayer, it is only through the power of God Almighty that he hears and that he delivers. And then in return, we should glorify. This is another reason why cottage prayer meeting is important and midweek prayer is important. Because that is a time when we can come together and pray specifically for specific needs. And so I would want to encourage you to make enough time in your busy schedule to be with us on Wednesdays. I'm telling you, it is a powerful time together here in this beautiful sanctuary on Wednesday nights. Our cottage prayer meetings is a good time just to fellowship in a comfortable setting where we pray. It is through the power of prayer that God's will shall always be done. When the effective, fervent prayer is prayed by the righteous, great things will always follow. And we should always hold steadfast to that and understand and know that He is going to provide and He is going to show up. God will always show up. He is always ready to produce a mighty work in you. But there is one key component that I want us to look at this morning. And that's speaking of the anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, in this particular passage, there has been many erroneous teachings coming from this particular phrase. Do not be misled by the oil being some magical potion. The oil was part of the routine, the regimen of praying, anointing with. But the answering of prayer, or the answering of the faithful, came through and will always come through the prayer of the righteous submitting them to God Almighty. It is through prayer of believers that divine aid and blessings are invoked. Now we understand, as we have studied our Bibles, that oil was widely believed to be of a medicinal value in biblical times. And in this particular verse that we've read, in verse 14, it was used as a medicinal purpose. They were anointing this individual with oil who was sick. They were also praying. This text is stating the prayer of faith will heal and that the medical means are to be used. And this is important in our lives because we know that God has blessed man, has blessed woman with the knowledge of medicine. And God has used medicine in your life to heal you. But who's still in control? Who is still the great healer, the great physician? That is God Almighty. He permits these resources to be used. God does, however, occasionally heal directly without the intervention of medicine, without the intervention of surgery. He has the power to do that. You know, He is still in the miracle business, and He will continue to heal in that form or fashion until He chooses not to. But He gives us medicine to be used. But don't ever forget that it is through the power of prayer where things really get done. Always. First and foremost. As a believer, you have the right to ask for healing from the Lord, who He revealed Himself to His people. And I want to read you something from Exodus. Exodus 15:26, it says, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all of His statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." In Hebrew, the Lord was referred to as Jehovah Rophika. And what that means is, I, the Lord, am your healer. Jehovah Rophika, I am the Lord your healer. There is no other healer than He. We know that God places man and woman, doctors, in our paths, but ultimate healing will always come from the healing hand of God. God heals, and He often employs means or resources in this very process. One excellent illustration of this is out of the activity of God in regard to sickness out of Acts 28. Paul and Luke, the physician, were shipwrecked in Malta. And upon this shipwreck, the father of Publius was ill. He was sick. Now, first of all, do you think that shipwreck happened by chance? God had a mission. God had something for Paul and Luke to do in Malta. And that was to heal this man, Publius. He was very ill. And so Paul, he entered into this ill man and he prayed over him. And not only did he pray, but he laid his hands upon him. And as he laid his hands upon him, he was healed. Not by Paul's words, but by Paul's heart. Not by Paul's heart alone, but by Paul's obedience. By Paul's faithfulness. And so after this event took place, there were many others on this shipwrecked island who were ill, who were sick, who were diseased. And they came in droves to Paul and to Luke. And they healed these people. They healed them with medicine, and they healed them with the power of prayer. But who's in control of the medicine? Who created the substances that gives us medicine? No other than the healer himself, God Almighty. God often uses these medicines in the hands of others, but all healing comes from the great physician. In fact, when there is healing, it is all because of God. But something that we must take solace in knowing, even though it's not comforting at the time in which we need it, God may not choose to heal you on this side of heaven. And we know that to be very true. Many people we've known in our lives have died maybe at an early age because of an illness or sickness. Or even when we live to an older age of 80, 90 or above, eventually this old body is going to succumb to life. This old body will perish. But what's here in this heart? It will live forevermore. Either face to face with the great physician, our heavenly maker, or it will live and perish in hell eternal. We serve a powerful God, the healer. We're told in 1 John 5:14 to always seek his will. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We should always pray for God's will to be done. Jesus said this very same thing before he went to the cross. He said to his Father in heaven, "Not my will, but thine be done." We need to pray that very same prayer. God, not Michael's will, but your will be done. Not Sand Hill's will, but your will be done, God. Perhaps you sit here this morning not really knowing the importance of a powerful prayer life, or possibly you feel as though you can't be a powerful prayer warrior for Christ. If you believe those things, or you listen to those inner thoughts, you're listening to the devil himself, the father of lies. Of course he wants to convince you that you can't be a prayer warrior. Of course he wants to convince you there's no way you can pray with power, that your words mean nothing. Because if you're not learning how to pray with power, you are not being of service to Christ. You're being of service to Satan. You're being a hindrance to the kingdom. That's what Satan wants. Don't ever believe those internal lies that ponder, or you may ponder in your heart or your mind. Know that you can pray with the power of God. A prayerless person is a powerless person. When you devote little time to communicating with the Heavenly Father, you cannot expect to see dramatic results. And unfortunately, in this world that we live in, many people who really are probably not even believers in Christ, or maybe they are believers, but there's just not really a real relationship there, they just throw out that word all the time, "Pray for me, pray for me." If there's no relationship there, and if there's these sins that are binding your heart, the prayer goes no higher than the ceiling. You've got to have a relationship. You've got to be one who is willing to recognize the error in your ways, because we're going to read here in verse 16 the importance of confessing your sin, because when you do not confess your sin, you hinder your prayer life. And if your prayer life is hindered, there cannot be any power there. God's power is released in response to our zealous desire for his intervention. A fervent petitioner, believing his Lord will intercede, is determined to pray through every barrier that Satan erects. Every barrier that comes your way, you pray fervently through that barrier, because he will knock it down. God has the power. He stops only when God answers. You, the fervent prayer, only stops when God answers, or if the Father makes it clear that this is outside of his will. Wise believers devote time and energy to requests of great importance. Are you considered wise? How much time and energy do you devote to your prayer life? It is through your relationship with Christ that you have been made righteous, which means that you have the opportunity to pray to the Lord up in heaven. But this takes us to our closing verse, verse 16. If you'd look there with me, please. That very first word is a word that we often do not like to read, but it's a very important word in the growth of our Christian walk, the maturation of our spirit. Confess your faults to one another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. The purpose of confession is to assist us in isolating the offense, recognizing not the mistake, the sin, the iniquity, the transgression that is within our lives. And when we recognize these things and we confess these things, they can then be forgiven. And when this is taking place, the roadblock is knocked down. You are running headstrong into that roadblock, and it's no longer there because God has erased it from your path. Now, it's not that you need to confess your sins one to another as one who goes to a priest in the practice of Catholicism. But if you've wronged an individual and you hurt them, it's very important to go to that person and apologize to them and tell them that you're sorry for whatever you did to them. That's what this is speaking of. Not confessing all of your sins. And it's good that you are able to do this. And I'm going to read a verse in a moment that gives us great example of why we should do this. But the important thing is that you're willing to confess your sins so that you can be forgiven. And then that your work for the Father will be enhanced. Proverbs 27, 17 and 19, through 19 read, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Whoever keeps the fig tree will eat its fruit. So he who waits on his master will be honored. As in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man." That is why we must confess our sins one to another. We want to be able to sharpen one another, not to put each other down, not to judge and ridicule one another. We want to build each other up. That is our responsibility as believers in Christ, to build one another up, to build his kingdom up, so that we all can benefit from the power of prayer, the power of God. Once we're able to move past our own faults, our own mistakes and prideful ways, the power of prayer can begin to take over. It's not until we get past ourselves, and that is very key. As we read in 16, it says, confess your faults. In order to confess your thoughts, you must be able to get over yourself. You must be able to put your prideful ways to the side so that you can be an effective, fervent prayer warrior for Christ. Not for anything else, but for Christ. That's all that matters. So I ask you this question this morning. Do you pray with power? Are you confident in saying that you pray with power? You don't have to answer that question to me or anyone else, but you answer it to God. Do you pray with power? Do you truly desire for your prayer life to be effective? Or do you just pray because it's the thing to do? Do you really want to see God's will be accomplished? Do you? Sometimes I think we're afraid to see the will of God be accomplished because guess what? That may mean that you've got to step out of your comfort zone. That may mean that you've got to leave a place of great security. I had to step out of my comfort zone 3 years ago. I gave up a job of great security to a job really of insecurity. Because you know, if I rub the wrong people wrong here, y'all get me out of here. I mean, I really had to rub somebody wrong at the school district to get fired. But we got to be willing to do that. We got to be willing to take that gigantic leap of faith, and knowing that when you take that leap of faith, you're not going to fall face first. That power of prayer that we speak of this morning, you're going to be upheld by the very same power through the power of God Almighty's promise in your life. All he wants to do is use you so that you can be an effective prayer warrior, so that you can spread the word of God, so that his kingdom will grow. Fervent, as defined by Merriam-Webster, means exhibiting or marked by great intensity or feeling zealous. Now think about your prayer life right now. I want to read that definition one more time. Exhibiting or marked by great intensity. Does that describe your prayer life? A synonym of fervent is the word ardent. Or this word I really love is impassioned. How impassioned are you for prayer? How impassioned are you for Christ? These particular words, as defined by Merriam-Webster, says characterized by warmth of feeling, typically expressed in eager, zealous support. Now, that's important. Are you eagerly, zealously supporting God's kingdom growth? And do you do this through prayer? Don't just utter words. Utter what is in your heart. Pray to the Lord up in heaven. And what a way to describe your prayer life. If God can look upon you and say, that is a fervent prayer warrior, an effectual prayer warrior. What an awesome thing to be recognized by. And in conversations that I've had with some of you here at the church, you've named several men who have already passed and already gone on to see the Lord up in heaven. And y'all told me how when they prayed, y'all felt as if Jesus was literally coming right down upon you. Why can't you possess that very same power? You can. You can have that same ability to pray just as those who have gone on before you used to pray. Pray with great intensity, with eagerness of the Lord's will to be done in your life. Don't ever be afraid to pray. And when you do pray, pray with power. The late Reverend Billy Graham said, prayers have no boundaries. They can leap miles and continents and be translated instantly into any language. I encourage you this morning to pray without ceasing. I encourage you this morning to pray fervently. And I encourage you this morning to always pray with power. Let us pray. Father God, we come to you this morning to give you the praise and to give you the honor that you so rightfully deserve. And Father, I thank you for every man, every woman, every boy and girl who is in your place of worship this morning. God, I pray that you teach us the importance of how we are to fall on bended knee and lament our hearts to you, God. Father, instill in us the power that only you can. May we possess a power that will raise up a new generation of believers in you, God. Father, we live in a lost and dying world, and we see every single day that less of you is what this world wants. But God, we study your word, and we know it is more and more of you is what we need here today. Father, allow us to be the sanctuary that you've anointed us to be, living holy, living purely for you. Father, we thank you for the power of prayer. Father, we thank you for the very power that took your son directly from that grave. That very power that allowed him to ascend back to his throne on high. So that he could sit upon his throne with his heavenly Father as our intercessor. Father, prepare our hearts to be better servants for you in all that we do. In your glorious and holiest name, I do pray. Amen.